Wherever you are in your home, whatever you're about to do, whatever you're facing right now, His eye is upon the sparrow, and His eye is upon you. Have that peace, have that comfort within. Jesus promised that He would be with us, that He would help us. Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric, the host of the program. I am so glad you tuned in. If you need peace, this is the place to be. I call this Jesus' first gift at the resurrection and His last gift at the Last Supper. And I'm praying that you will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. It was the Last Supper, and this is John chapter 14. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world does. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I love peace. I love going to gardens, love going to national parks. Remember, I went to the Grand Canyon, I stood at the precipice and I looked out there. I hiked it for 3 hours, it was beautiful. And I was struck by the silence. It was the grandeur, the quiet. And I believe that God speaks through silence and peace. I've gone to many different gardens, I've gone to national parks. And one of the things that I absolutely love to do is to go to a retreat. A retreat in the Catholic tradition is a time that you go away apart from the hustle and the bustle. I've been to many retreat centers around the country. One of the places I go is to Big Sur, California, right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean, and I spend a week there in solitude, in quiet, and there is peace. But I want you to notice something. At the Last Supper, at the worst night of Jesus' life, at His most desperate moment, this wasn't a garden, this wasn't the Grand Canyon, and this wasn't on a retreat. Jesus was about to be crucified in less than 24 hours. He was about to go through torture, to be betrayed and denied, and He knew the whole thing that was coming up. And in the midst of that chaos, the midst of that craziness, the midst of that worst situation, as I said, the worst night of His life, right there, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. My peace I give you. A peace that the world cannot give. And I might add, a peace that the world cannot take away." This is why we call Jesus of Nazareth Master. And we call Him a Master because no matter the situation, the people that came against Him, the questions that were asked Him, the places that He went, He had this supernatural peace. Remember what He taught? He said, if somebody strikes you on your cheek, turn the other cheek to that person. And only a master could be that way. When he would walk with a demeanor of great grace, great beauty. He attracted people by His peace. So I want you to know that, like joy, if you watch my other program, peace is not dependent on people around you or being on a retreat or going to the Grand Canyon. You can have peace right in the midst of your most difficult situation. I talk to people all the time who are going to the hospital, about to have an operation. Maybe they have back trouble, hip problems, knees, whatever it is. And they have to have an operation. They're terrified. They don't want to go through this. They don't want to be put to sleep. They don't want to go under the knife. Nobody does. But person after person, believers, tell me that right before they're about to go to the operating room, they sense this peace this tranquility, this serenity that they don't know where it came from. And you and I know where it comes from. It comes from God. Jesus' last gift was peace, I leave you. It was a gift. He said he bequeathed it to us. It's our inheritance. It's ours to enjoy. He died for us to have it. In fact, if you remember, it wasn't only his last gift, it was his first gift. What do I mean by that? Raised from the dead, resurrected, comes to the apostles. They were all afraid. He didn't say, why did you deny me? Why did you betray me? First gift, he said, shalom. Shalom is a Jewish greeting, has a sense of harmony. But basically, we translate it this way, peace be with you. And so his last gift and his first gift, peace. In the Catholic tradition, when we celebrate Mass, right before communion, right before we receive the body and the blood of Jesus, what we do is we have the sign of peace. We turn to our neighbor, wish them peace, usually shake hands or hug them. We even call it the kiss of peace. And that comes right from the scriptures. And what we're doing is we're wishing our neighbor, our family, our spouses, our community members, peace. Oftentimes, at this point in Mass, there are people around us that aren't necessarily the people we want to be there. They're not our best friends. It might even be a person that you're having trouble with. But even then, out of the goodness of your heart, we wish them peace. Remember, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was faced with a storm in his life, and he stood up and he cast his peace right into the storm. And that's what I want for you right now. I know that some of you are going through a divorce. I know some of you are having hard times in your marriage. I know some of you are grieving, lonely. Maybe you're facing an operation. Could be you're going through a physical suffering of some sort. Peace be with you in the middle of that storm. It's interesting, in a hurricane, when that wind is whipping and the waves are being kicked up and the wind is blowing 70, 80, 150 miles an hour even, or more, just beneath the surface, the waters are calm. Even though there's chaos raging right up above, just beneath, there's peace. So I want you to understand that Jesus was offering us this peace at the worst moment of his life. So I want you to know that you can have peace even though you're going through turmoil and tribulations and trials. In fact, the Bible tells us that this is the great tribulation. This comes right from the book of Revelation, this being our life. The Bible calls our life on earth the great tribulation. And as Jesus taught, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. So don't think, well, wait a minute, why am I going through this? I shouldn't be going through this because I'm a believer. No, no, there's nothing wrong with you. Everybody has stuff. Everybody goes through different things. But Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But he said, cheer up, I've overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, we can have this peace that surpasses our intellect, our understanding, our knowledge. Peace is so wonderful. I crave peace. That's why I go on retreats. But as I said, you don't have to go on a retreat to have peace. You can have it right in the most difficult moment of your life. Like this man, I love to tell this story about this man. He's wealthy, loves peace, but he was never able to find a portrait of peace. He wanted to hang it on his mantle. So what he did is he said, I'm going to have a contest. See if somebody can draw me a portrait of peace that I'm looking for here. So what he did is he offered $50,000 to the artist that could depict the greatest portrait of peace. So 25 artists got to work. They started getting to work and painting away, and they wanted to win the 50 grand, you know, the whole thing. And they submitted, all 25 of them submitted their portraits to the man. He was the judge. He was going to decide who was going to win the $50,000. And he narrowed it down to two portraits of peace. Number one, it was a mountain scene, a beautiful scene, a placid pond, a few puffy clouds, an eagle flying above, some flowers growing, wildflowers. It looked like the perfect picture of peace, this beautiful mountain scene. The other scene wasn't so peaceful looking. It was another mountain scene, but it didn't look so peaceful. The mountain had a jagged, rugged peak. Over the peak was this dark, angry storm cloud. Out of the storm cloud, flashes of lightning. Because of the lightning and the storm, the rain was falling upon the top of the mountain. Because of all the rain, water was rushing and gushing over. And right underneath the waterfall, if you look really closely, there was a bush. And on the bush, there was a nest. And in the nest, there were two birds asleep in the midst of all that chaos. Well, the man looked at the two portraits, and he said, "This is the one that wins." Because peace isn't the absence of storms. Rather, peace is tranquility right in the middle of the storm, just like the two little birds that were at peace in the nest in the midst of all that chaos. So I want you to get that. Peace isn't the absence of trials and tribulations and divorces and physical sufferings and depression and all this different stuff. Rather, it's this tranquility, this serenity, this equanimity deep within that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pezania has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give, we are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.
A woman came up to me one time. She said, "Father Cedric, God doesn't hear my prayer." I go, "What are you talking about? God hears prayer." She goes, "Well, my husband is an alcoholic, and I have been praying for years for him to give up alcohol, to give up this addiction. Nothing is happening. God doesn't hear my prayer." Well, I have ministered in the 12-step program for 25 plus years. People come to our retreat center in Houston all the time that are 12-steppers. Every day we have 12-step meetings. And I tried to help her understand about the wisdom of the 12-step program. And the wisdom of the 12-step program is this, that you can't necessarily change another person or a circumstance in your life. We all have chaotic people and circumstances, but what you can do is work on yourself, so that you can cope with the people and the circumstances. You see, if you're allowing somebody's drinking or strange behavior to upset you and make you live in continual disarray, that's called codependency. You're dependent on that person to give you peace, and that's just never gonna happen. So the 12-step program teaches something totally different. It teaches you can't depend on your circumstances and the people of your life to give you peace. Rather, you have to work on yourself. "But my husband's the alcoholic." Right, I understand that. It's not your fault, but if you want to be able to live with him and cope with him, you got to work with yourself. You've probably heard the prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. It's very popular. Everybody prays it. God, grant me the serenity. That's what we're talking about here, serenity. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Wow, I love that. And I'm praying if you're in a situation with an addicted child or husband, or maybe it's you, I pray that God will grant you serenity, courage, and wisdom. Great book about codependency that I want you to read. It's written by a woman named Karen Casey, Codependence and the Power of Detachment. You see, she talks about detaching, not leaving your husband, not leaving the situation, but living emotionally detached from that which is turbulizing your life or causing all your trials and turbulences, so that, like Jesus, you can stand in the midst of a person who slaps you on the cheek and offer the other cheek. You don't have to react to traffic when it's slow or somebody cuts you off. You don't have to be all bent out of shape every moment of your life because it's not going your way and you feel like you're out of control. So that's called detaching emotionally from situations and from people. You still live with them, you still love them the best you can, but you realize that their insanity doesn't have to drive you insane. So the 12-step program tries to help a person have sanity, serenity, peace. Did you notice what I'm saying? It's not removed. It's right in the middle of real life. See, this is Christianity, I believe, at its best. Jesus didn't promise us a trial-free life. He promised that he would be with us in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the hardships. So I talk to people all the time. I know you have trouble. I know you have tribulation. I know there's stuff going on in your life, and I wish I could take it away from you. But what happens is, right in the middle of it all, you end up growing. You deepen your relationship with God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding actually comes to you. I know that I have a tendency to get anxious and worried and bent out of shape. It's very easy. I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off and I want to react just like everybody else. I get that a lot in the confessional. People will talk about their driving habits, how they feel about different people. Noise bothers me. I get agitated by noise. And when I feel out of control, I get stressed out. Well, I have sayings that really help me, that help give me peace in the midst of it all. This too shall pass is one of my favorites. Cedric, it's water off a duck's back. Doesn't matter. And be like Teflon. You know what Teflon is? It's a non-stick surface. And you can be like Teflon. You can have peace right in the middle of it all. So let's talk about agitation here, because I realize that a lot of you get agitated just like me very easily, traffic and noise and people, especially difficult people. They can agitate you. And one of the agitations I have in my life is traveling, because I'm a parish missionary, preach on television, as you know, I'm a media missionary. So I travel to different places like Tulsa and Canada and New Orleans to do the filming, and I travel all around the United States to preach parish missions. I remember one time I was going to give a mission in Boston, my home state. I live in Houston. And so I'm about to fly there, and I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'2", and I'm about to get sardined into an airplane. Traveling is very romanticized nowadays. And right before I was about to fly, I was looking out the window. The plane was right there. Just looking out the window, kind of getting anxious because I knew I had to fly and then I had to get there and the traffic in Boston was going to be bad and I had to drive to Worcester, which is 40 miles west of Boston, and get acclimated and meet new people and preach in front of all these different people. So I'm feeling really anxious. And as I'm looking out the window, I see a little bird on the windowsill, a little sparrow. And all of a sudden, I thought about that verse, his eye is upon the sparrow, and his eye is upon you. And I sensed that I was being watched. And I looked around, and people are playing on their cell phones, and you know, they're talking to each other and different things. Nobody was looking at me. God was looking at me. I had a sense that God was watching. He knew what I was about to do. He knew I was going to go and preach. His eye was upon me. And I looked at the little sparrow, And I said, you know, God's watching that sparrow, but he's watching me too. So, gave me great comfort, gave me some peace. Got on the plane, we had a safe flight to Boston, got the car, dealt with all the traffic, made my way to Worcester, met the pastor, went upstairs, opened up my suitcase on the bed, started putting my clothes in the bureau. Right above the bureau, there was a lithograph. I couldn't believe it. I look, it's a lithograph of a little sparrow, and underneath are the words, "His eyes upon the sparrow, and his eyes upon you." Oh, that gave me such peace. And you know, whenever I travel, whenever I do anything, whenever I go anywhere, I always think about that situation, and I remember that, you know what, I'm not going alone. God is watching over me. God is providentially with me. And that's what I want you to get right now. Wherever you are in your home, whatever you're about to do, whatever you're facing right now, his eye is upon the sparrow, and his eye is upon you. Have that peace, have that comfort within. Jesus promised that he would be with us, that he would help us. And I love that because he is with us. Remember what Jesus taught? He said, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. Not even Solomon in all of his regalia was arrayed like a little flower. Then he said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. They don't gather into barns, yet your Father takes care of them. And if God will take care of the flowers and the birds, how much more will he take care of you? That gives me such peace that ultimately, whether I realize it or not, sometimes I don't, God is in control. God is in charge of our life. I saw a bumper sticker one time, must have been a 12-stepper. It said, easy does it. Then another one, one day at a time. And that's a great way to live. Don't always be in such a hurry and all flustered and agitated and bent out of shape. Easy does it. One day at a time. I used to be a youth minister, and I was giving a youth retreat one time, and on the youth retreat was an older man with a guitar who liked to play music. And he had such a gift. He played a song one time called One Day at a Time. Just very slow acoustic piece. That was 40 years ago, and I never forgot that song. Jesus spoke to me in that music, came to me in that song, and I pray that you will get that notion also. One day at a time, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be all bent out of shape. His eye is upon the sparrow, and his eye is upon you. If he clothes the grass, takes care of the birds, it's going to take care of you too. I love what the Bible says about peace. It calls it the shoes of peace. Put on your shoes of peace. You know what shoes do? They're walking shoes. So in other words, in your journey, as you're walking, in your journey, your pilgrimage, I call it, of life, we need peace to guide us to our destination. What is our destination? Of course, heaven, going home. And we need shoes. And it reminds me about the wonderful show, The Wizard of Oz. You remember the story, Dorothy has this dream, and in this dream she gets lost, and it's all about the journey home. She wants to go home. And so the Wicked Witch of the East has these shoes, and a house falls on her, these red sequin shoes, and the good witch takes the shoes off, puts them on Dorothy, and says, don't give up these shoes. These shoes will take you home. And so Dorothy wears the shoes, they're beautiful red sequin shoes, and she journeys the yellow brick road, but the Wicked Witch of the West, and isn't there always evil in our life, the Wicked Witch of the West wants those shoes. And I have to tell you, the devil, the wicked one, the evil one, wants your peace. If he can't steal your soul, which he wants to do, he wants you miserable. That's his second strategy. So if he can't steal your soul, he wants you to be all agitated and flustered and bent out of shape. He wants your shoes of peace. So remember what happens. The Wicked Witch of the West goes for the shoes. Zzz, she couldn't get them. The only way she could get those shoes is this, if Dorothy took them off. The only way he can get your peace is if you give your peace to the devil. So long story short, you remember what takes Dorothy home? She taps three times. She said, I want to go home. I want to go home. It was the shoes of peace that took her home. Same way, your shoes of peace, your shoes that God has given you will take you home. And peace is valuable. You know how much those ruby slippers, I've seen them in the Smithsonian, they paid $300,000, not for the slippers, to repair the slippers. So they're invaluable. Your peace is invaluable. Just because somebody cut you off on the street, don't give it away. Just because you're living with a person that's agitating you, don't give it away. Remember what Jesus said, if somebody strikes you, turn the other cheek. Learn from the master. Don't live a flustered life. Live with peace. Peace is power. Peace is strength. Peace helps you to enjoy your life and helps you to live with passion. His first gift at the resurrection, peace be with you. Jesus' last gift at the Last Supper, my peace I give you. May you experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it will help you to live free from codependence, a life of serenity, a life of tranquility. And don't just live, live with passion. I hope you like the preaching about peace, and I pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding will keep your mind and heart in Jesus. I got a letter from a woman, and she said this, get this, I've been saved by your ministry. And I love that. She said, thank you for preaching. Thank you for reaching out on TV. I want to donate to help you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my partners and those that are helping me. Here's my goal, touching lives, saving souls. That's what I'm all about. I want people that aren't going to church to come back to Christ. I want young people to come to know Him. I want to reach out into prisons, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And I want to inspire believers. May I ask you to become a partner with my ministry? 100% of your money will go directly to the preaching of the gospel. I'm about giving people peace and joy, but most of all, a personal relationship with Jesus. I thank you in advance for your generosity. Please stay tuned and listen to my announcer.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pezzegna has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give, we are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.